all those who have organized this. I just feel so grateful to be here and be part of the Belknap family. I must tell you, I was born in Plain City, and we lived just down the road from my grandparents, who we were so close to. My grandma Jenny Skeen Cook, was from Joseph Skeen or a Lyman Skeen family, and so whenever we would talk about genealogy and families, it was the Skeen family, because they were an important part of Plain City, where you're right on the block where you're raised. And then I'd ask my grandpa, and grandpa, tell me about your family. And what was said, his mother died when he was 2. His father died a couple years later. He was raised by his grandparents. And that's about all I knew. My grandpa wasn't a man of words, so he was quiet. My mother loved to talk, so I grew up knowing everything about the Skeens. And nothing except my grandpa was named Harvey Belknap. It wasn't until I got to Weber State, on one of the first days, there's a fellow classmate, he comes up, and his name is Steve Belknap, Gordon's son. And he goes, "Cousin, Gordon, how are you?" "Good, I'm Steve Belknap, your cousin." "Yeah, the Hooper connection, you know," and he starts getting him. Most of you know Steve, but Steve was just so fun. So we had some good conversations. I thought it was my grandpa was up there. 10 years later, we moved up to Liberty, and in our ward, first day, here comes Brian. "Hey, there's my cousin, my cook cousin, the Belknap one." "What's your name?" "Brian Belknap." "Oh, from Hooper." "Yep." "Oh, let me tell you about your mind. You really ought to really dig into this Belknap family." "Think I will." A few years later, I show up at the church office building, greeted almost at the door. "Hi, guess who I am?" "I'm Brent Belknap. I'm your cousin." "How many Belknaps are there?" "I know all 3 of them." And it wasn't until that he said, and especially Brent, he said, "You know, you really can find out about your ancestors. You know, you really can find out about the Belknaps. I think you're really interested." "Okay, where do I go and what do I do?" I began to learn about the Belknaps, and I can just confirm this quote by President Nelson: "When our hearts turn to our ancestors, something changes inside us. We feel part of something greater than ourselves." I just want to say to see you with you today, go through that roll call, and we're part of the line. It was just absolutely thrilling. So where did we come from? I couldn't have told you any of this prior to 10 years. Yep, Gilbert Belknap. We're from the Henrietta Belknap line, as you know them. Their first son was William Belknap, and he married Eliza Watts. They had one child, Etta Eliza Belknap, who married Henry Oscar Cook, who had one son, Harvey B. Cook, who married my grandma Jenny. They had one son, Bert Eugene Cook. The older generation's gone. My father was the basketball player who played for the Knicks, but some people always say, "Are you connected to him?" I'm his son, and I married Lynette. I am so proud to know that I can tell you when they say, "Okay, what family line are you from?" "Yeah, Will." "It's not William, it's Will." As I went through, just to share a few things about this wonderful family that we're a part of and all the information that's available, I thought if I could say some things about Gilbert that I've read and researched. But as I looked at my history, you know whom I'm inspired by? I am inspired by women of wonder. There's a couple of women, Adeline, as I read about her story, unbelievable. In many ways, Henrietta, unbelievable. I thought maybe for just a few moments, the line that I come from, I could just tell you a little about what I learned about Henrietta that I think is so inspiring and causes me to want to do better. She certainly was a woman of wonder. She married Gilbert Barrel map, 31 and 1852. On August 31st, 1853, she gave birth to William James Belknap. And about 10 years later, just to share maybe a couple of insights in her young married life, 10 years later, she was asked by Gilbert to move up to Ogden Valley, to Huntsville, where she moved there with her four children to homestead, land, and to take care of sheep. And in the journal it says, in the write-up it says, with the help of her oldest son, William James, they cared for the land and the sheep. And I thought, oh, okay, how old is Will? 10 years old. I don't know if you know much about Huntsville. There's also a few instances that he not only took care of the sheep, helped his mother, and he played with his Indian friends. I try to think about what kind of a woman it would take to say, okay, let's go homestead, let's run the sheep, and to live up in Huntsville in whatever surroundings they would have for 4 or 5 years. It's not easy to live there now, especially in the winter. Imagine their surrounding. A couple from her mother life, Henrietta, and her three youngest children were next moved to Hooper. Well, wait, what happened to their oldest son, Will? He stayed in the valley and continued to work, hired out for labor. So she moves with the three younger children into the home that was portrayed. Henrietta used her and her family then were asked to go to Hooper in the spring of 1868, where they worked out of that box that we just learned about. Let me just read this. It contained their bedding, clothing, and meager supplies. Without a camp stove, their cooking and baking was done over a campfire in a frying pan, kettle and bake kettle, using cut sagebrush for fuel. They had no artificial light, even a candle. During the cold weather, they'd go to bed to keep warm. They melted snow for water and carry water from a distant spring. As I think back to those pioneers, I think back to these women of wonder that with all of these children that just made it happen. And then we get to the story. After Henrietta's son Oliver lost his first wife in 1894, Henrietta, age 73, took Oliver's son Wilford, then 3 years old, to care for him. In the fall and winter of 1896 and 97, at age 75 and 76, another grandson, William O. Belknap, lived with Henrietta and Willard. At those ages, she then raised those grandchildren. While going through the hardships of building up a new part of the country, yet again, Henrietta cared for 5 of her grandchildren. And then there's one phrase that jumped out on the page. Henrietta was a woman who never complained, although she was moved from place to place. A woman of wonder. So what is it like to be a son or a daughter of Henrietta? I'm intrigued by my next, if you will, woman of wonder, Eliza Ann Watts, who married that 10-year-old boy that took care of the sheep up in Huntsville. That boy that loved horses. On December 22nd, 1873, Will was married to Eliza Ann Watts in the Endowment House in Salt Lake. Eliza was a horse rider. It says she rode all the mountain trails. And since saddles were unknown, she'd ride bareback. And it said she was not afraid of a bear or a rattlesnake. Eliza married Will in 1873, and they had 14 children.
14?
And let me read a little write-up on Eliza and Will. Will and Eliza had a good life, but they also experienced hardships and sorrows throughout their married life. They lost a daughter, Mary Ellen, on September 15, 1898, of a bad heart. Their son, Clarence, was shot accidentally while herding sheep in Wyoming and died December 23, 1898, from his injuries. In 1905, their second son, Jim, lost his wife, and Eliza and Will took his 2 children and cared for them. in April of 1907, their daughter, Etta, which is my great-grandmother, died and left two small children, Harvey Belknap Cook, who was 2 years old, and his sister, Ivel, who was a few years older. Will and Eliza took the children and cared for them until they were grown. Remember, they had 14 children, and then she raised all of these others. I had no idea what my grandpa was living. I had no idea with my family exactly the family stories that have been revealed by tying into the Belknap family organization. What I did know is a few of the stories that my grandmother saved when I went back and started researching my grandpa, putting together some stories. I found this. It's a one page, is all I have for my grandpa. It said that in September, Harvey's mother, Etta, became ill. Some said it was her heart. Harvey said it was because of complications of childbirth. After treatment by a doctor and good care by her mother, she was brought to her former home in Hooper. She lingered until March of 1907 and then passed away. Etta passed away the evening of April 1st. Harvey was just over 2 years old. Harvey and his sister Ivel continued to live and were raised by the grandparents, Will and Eliza and Belknap. And then this is life, if you could imagine. How many children? 14 children. Raised these two. This is what it was like for my grandpa growing up in that family, which may not have been too far different from any of these. Harvey Belknap grew up in the Belknap home with his uncles and aunts. He talked a lot about his Uncle Lon, Alonzo, and Uncle Bert, Albert, who were not a great deal older than Harvey was. When he was very young, these uncles had been loading shells and left some powder on a bench. Harvey was only tall enough to see the top of the bench. He took a match and lit the powder, which blew up in his face, leaving powder scars and damaging his eyes. I have no idea why my grandpa didn't have good vision. He had poor eyesight. This incident impaired his eyesight for the remainder of his life. I found out one other that was kind of the cook gene, didn't quite measure up to the Belknap standard of the family. Harvey had a tooth that protruded, probably his eye tooth. His uncle Leon told him, no kid is going to grow up in this Belknap house with protruding teeth. His language was much more profound as he was big and had a dominant personality. He would make Harvey put his head on the stairs, and then he would take a board or a broom handle and push on the tooth for a length of time. Over time, the tooth went back where it belonged. As far as I know, he had straight teeth. But I would have liked to. Does anybody, the posterity of Leon or Lon or Bert? Somewhere there's a posterity. Those are siblings, but maybe we can catch up and talk about that. Harvey married Jenny Afton Skeen in Brigham City on February 11th, 1925. Together, they had four children, Lyman, Dee, Bert, and George. I have no idea. So to Steve, and to Brian, and to Brent, and to all of you, I thank you. I thank you, and I think about our opportunity and responsibility. We have a couple hundred here today, maybe several hundred joining, but what an opportunity to say, present. You know about a little about your history. It brings something out of us. It helps us have gratitude and appreciation for those that went before. I have greater appreciation for my grandpa, Harvey, and my grandparents, and this wonderful Belknap line. I just conclude by saying that I think there's kind of a side, at least in me, that kind of grew up in Plain City, that was kind of a who's your dad? Who's your dad's dad? How many boys do you have? It's kind of this patriarchal order, which was kind of just part of the way I'm growing up. As I've aged and I've had more experiences, and when I come to even a family reunion, I now want to say, who's your mom? Who's your mom's mom? I believe part of the strength of this family, absolutely yes, Gilbert Belknap. But how could we not recognize Adeline? Henrietta, Anna, and all of those others. Unbelievable what they've accomplished and what they've done. This year, President Nelson, speaking to the sisters, his remarks were entitled, "The Influence of Women." And I just read his quote. This is President Nelson, this is in the last year, to the sisters. "I bless you with increased spiritual discernment and the ability to find joy in offering relief to others. I bless you with the wisdom to discern what is needed and not to run faster than you're able. I bless you with courage to lift up to your divine privileges as a covenant daughter of God. I bless you to feel deeply that Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ know you and love you." Well, I'm grateful for the women in my life. I'm grateful for those that make it possible for being here. But I also recognize that somewhere back in those genes, they loved others, they adopted, they embraced, they helped the posterity in the Belknap family. And I'm grateful today for all of you women, for all of you mothers who are doing the same thing to bless your children and to bless your grandchildren and your posterity. May the Lord bless you, and may He bless us as the Belknap family. And may He help us to continue to follow the principles that the Belknap family, that Gilbert Belknap believed in, and the principles of Jesus Christ. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.